Boom. Do 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 do. La di da da, la di di da, la da di, la da di, la 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 la, bam bam wow 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 wow. The Dow is down 1,300 points. Who gives a shit, right? Well, I kind of do because I put money into it for no reason. Shouldn't have. Whatever. Hello, hello, hello. What's going on, guys? My name is Steve. The show is called Freight Broker Live. We are going to talk freight tech, automation, technology, the advancements of freight tech as it relates to transportation. So we're going to talk about autonomous trucks. We're going to talk about autonomous technology, other tech. We're going to talk about book it now and whether you guys like it. It's going to be a live call-in show. You can call in, speak your mind. We're going to talk about all the advancements that they're doing in freight tech and whether or not you think it's a good thing. Most of the people that watch my show already know how I feel about it. So this is a chance for you guys to vet it, ask your questions. And the reason why I chose to make this a topic today is because there is, I mean, I guess the closest to full automation that we're going to be seeing here, and it's going to be hitting the roads very, very soon. I wrote an article on it this morning, actually just a press release. So you guys could check that out. I'm also going to talk about it in my show. We've got other stuff. But anyway, here is my intro, and I've got a new song, and it's cool. Is this it? Ooh. Nope. There it is. It's misleading. Don't judge it. I like this song. I think it's pretty cool. Let me move that away. Yeah, anyway. I sang way too loud for that one. Hurt my eyes. Anyway, that's a goofy new song. It's actually pretty cool. It gets heavy and all that stuff. Like, I was singing it before and prepping, and it's a good song. Anyway, so today, if any of you guys don't know, I'm a goofball, but I own Freight Broker Live. So I talk about freight. I talk about what it's like to be in the industry as a freight broker. I have years behind the wheel as a driver and a fleet owner. So I have that going for me as well. So I just try to provide a lot of content that's relevant to the industry. A lot of people don't do that. So that's why I'm doing it. If you guys see right here, this show is sponsored by Trucker Tools. Let me get over here. So I'm just going to play this video while I read this little bit. Actually, no, I'm not. Anyway, so Trucker Tools is an app. They released a new, I believe the new app is already out. They have 17 plus tools and features. All of the tools and features that are included in the driver app are there to help you operate more efficiently, maximize your drive time, and increase profits for your trucking business. Download the app in iOS or Google Play stores now for free, or download or visit truckertools.com/carriers to see all the features. It's got so many features. It's got rate. It's got too much. It's too much to say. It's got truck stop locators, medical card locators, way station, where the way stations are. It's got book it now functionality. It's got tracking functionality. It's got so many different features. It's got a bunch of tech. in one app. So you don't have to have 15 other apps. The majority of freight brokers are already using it. I know we do. We use the Trucker Tools tracking app. It's got, like I said, Book It Now functionality. If you guys know, there's a big rat race. That's what we're going to talk today about, some Book It Now functionality that some other companies are coming out with or shortly will come out with. We're going to talk about predictive rating tools and what the hype is about and whether they're good or bad. We're going to talk about autonomous because, you know, that's pretty relevant to what I wrote about today. But anyway, guys, if you don't have the Trucker Tools app, go ahead and download it right now. Well, after my show, but download it right after. They are the sponsor for this month, and I'm very happy with it because it's one app that I actually use quite often. So it's been on my phone, even though I don't drive commercially anymore. Anyway. But so there's that. If you guys have checked out my website, you may have seen this article that I wrote. It's a press release about this company called Locomation. It's the first trucking technology platform to offer human-guided autonomous trucking convoying, is what they're calling it. They've signed an agreement with Wilson Logistics, a leading family-owned transportation logistics company based out of Springfield, Missouri. So basically what they do is they have two trucks that have this level four autonomous technology, which they're calling autonomous relay convoy. So basically the first truck has a whole bunch of computers and crap in it. Second truck has a whole bunch of computers and crap in it. They both have a driver. So here's the, actually, let me just show you this. This kind of puts in a great perspective. Check this out. Hold on. Got to get it there. Hold on. There's no driver in the second truck.
Locomation is founded by five very seasoned autonomy experts from Carnegie Mellon University. When we looked at the trucking industry, we identified a couple of pain points that need to be addressed today. As a first step, we decided to focus on autonomous truck convoying, which we think as a great opportunity to start deploying commercially much sooner than fully driverless solutions. Our technology starts providing commercial benefits today with a clear roadmap to higher levels of autonomy that will only make your fleet more efficient, safer, and more comfortable to drive in. In the long term, our technology will come pre-installed onto trucks. But in the short term, we are going to make our autonomy technology available as a retrofit kit to be installed on the existing trucks of the existing fleet. We are looking for the right partners to revolutionize the transportation industry one step at a time.
So it's funny because I was talking to someone yesterday about this and it kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't paying attention. Hold on. I wasn't paying attention to it. So I missed the press releases. I saw some other companies wrote about it, but I didn't find the need to write about it because I thought it was just like another autonomous, like, you know, driver assist stuff. So I looked into it more and no, this is pretty frightening. Like Corey Hendrickson said on YouTube, the convoying aspect is what scares me as well. So basically what ends up happening is there's drivers in both trucks. So when they get loaded and they get through the urban environment is what the website says, and they get on the highway, the computer system essentially takes over the second truck, mimicking what the driver's doing in the first truck, plus using AI learning and different technology. So it apparently reacts quicker than a human does and all this stuff. So it mimics what the driver ahead is doing and then uses all its programming to drive while the driver in the second truck goes into the back and sleeps. And apparently they say he's able to log off duty, not driving. So their theory is that you have a driver that's in a truck that's not being driven by anybody but a computer that's using sensors and guides and AI and all sorts of other tech that's way above my head. But it's basically it reacts on it. So my question and the question that pops into my head is because I've driven a truck and I gather a lot of the people that are behind these kind of tech things haven't. What happens when someone when these two trucks are driving down the road, you know, and they're passing an exit ramp and they're both going and the guy's asleep in the back of the second truck. And then you get one little dumbass in a four-wheeler. Excuse my language. This is explicit today. And you get someone that's driving down the road and then he's like, oh, crap, that's my exit. And he just cuts in between the two trucks. What happens at that point? I'm sure there's some sort of fail-safe, which is going to cause the second truck to slam on its brakes. The load's going to shift. You're going to have insurance claims, let alone the driver who's sleeping in the back of the truck that's going to come flying through the windshield, depending on how hard he brakes. But no, he's probably doing what, you know, every driver does in the back of a truck, and he's buckling up in his seatbelt as the truck is moving. He's probably not sleeping, to be completely honest. So I don't know. There's a lot of different things. It's very cool. When you actually think about it, it's a neat tech. It's neat. They did demo it, showed it on a different video, showed it going on a racetrack. It was pretty cool. This is what I was talking about with somebody else yesterday. The thing about autonomous is I don't think it's going to ever be a big enough issue in my lifetime or probably my kid's lifetime to affect transportation in a way that's going to affect me. Is it going to affect line haul guys? I don't see it. I really just don't. Because you're going to have to think about it. If you got a company, I don't know how much locomotion is worth, but say the company's worth, $500 billion or something like that, some stupid amount. You got Waymo. Waymo is a company that's backed by, or it's a subsidiary of Google, I believe. Say they come out with their level 4 autonomous truck. They're already testing it in Texas and Arizona running UPS routes, I think. Or that could be True Simple. I don't know. But this, from what I understand, this is the first fully autonomous truck. And even though there's a driver in it, from what they said, the driver will be able to log off duty. I don't know how that'll work, and I don't know if the FMCSA has granted them any sort of exemption right now, because I think if the truck is moving and the truck is operating and there's no one else operating the truck, then if there's a driver in there that's duly licensed to drive a truck, you would have to stay on duty. I know they said they're going to have a safety staff and all that stuff, so if that's the case, it's not going to – it won't matter. I mean, if you have other people that are sitting in the truck, it's not going to, nothing's going to change. So I don't know. I guess for me, I don't understand the big push for automation. You know, I don't, but you know, for automation in terms of truck, and why haven't they done it with trains? I know they're working on it now. There's just an article that was put out by like the Seattle Times or Washington Post or some crap like that. But I said that yesterday. I'm like, what, how come they're not feverishly working to automate these trains? You guys see that picture today? It was floating around on social media. It was a train that was over a mile long and it completely was fully booked with Amazon trailers. Like, you know, it's crazy. I just don't get it. But it's I've never understood the automation side of things. I've never really I know a lot of drivers fear it, and a lot of drivers complain about it, and I think it's cool. I mean, granted, it's cool tech. I mean, think about it. The truck could drive on its own, and it's using the patterns from the driver in the front. I see these guys have not driven a truck. They haven't driven a truck. They don't know what it's going to be like when, you know, someone that's out of their control, some irrational driver that gets pissed off and either shoots out one of the truck's tires or tries to dart in between the trucks to make an exit ramp or someone else. Because no matter what kind of AI you have, I could be wrong, but I don't think you can predict what someone else, especially some irrational person, is going to do if they encounter a situation that's completely out of the truck's control. That's why I don't feel like automation in terms of full, you know, level 4 autonomous stuff with driverless trucks completely. I mean, if there's other videos where drivers are sitting, like the True Simple guys, they're sitting right there at the steering wheel. Yes, the truck is able to turn and burn and do all that stuff by itself, but the driver's sitting there and he can grab it the whole time. If that driver falls asleep, it's going to be the same thing as Tesla. Truck's going to crash and it's going to kill people. And the problem is we know lawyers love nuclear verdicts. That's right, why we don't hear a bunch of complaints about autonomous. The only people that complain about it are drivers. We don't hear the government. We don't hear anything because it probably is just a way for them to implement other fines lawyers are sitting there going, please, please, let's rush. I bet lawyers are investors in this. Now, that's a far cry, but just so they could pull out stuff. It's crazy. Joseph Mason on YouTube said, automating trains isn't as valuable tech because they don't need an engineer for every single car. And these guys may not have driven trucks, but I assure you they are conferring with many truckers. Again, well, I don't think so. And you guys can mark my words. I may be wrong. Hampton Brandon. Well, that doesn't, I don't know how you could say that. It's free, bro. Get off my page. You're booted. So anyway, yeah, don't say stupid stuff about my sponsors because I'll ban you from my page, okay? Thank you. Anyway, what else were we going to say? It's just, it's crazy. I get your point, Joseph, because there's not a lot of money to be saved by just replacing one conductor or one engineer or whatever the hell they call them. It doesn't make sense, though. And they're saying that it has a cost reduction. So the way it changes lanes is the driver wakes up and takes control over the truck again, and then it switches so the second truck becomes the first truck and the first truck becomes the second truck, and then that driver goes and falls asleep. So it's just, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Justin on YouTube said, would be ticketed for falling too close in Oklahoma. I know. Yeah, but see, that's the thing, too. What states, where do they have the, like, what is that? How much space has to be between these trucks in order for them to still have that connection and still be able to speak to each other? You know, what happens if one of the trucks has to emergency brake or something like that and it loses that gap of space, but the driver's, you know, buckled in, sleeping in the back, just wake up and suddenly go and drive the truck? What happens at that point? There's too many ifs for me to think that this is a definite possibility. And it's like I said to someone else, because he's like, this is already here. This is, they have automated tractors and they have all this stuff. I get it. They have automated tractors for construction sites that are doing, like, you know, 5 miles an hour. I understand they have this tech, but I don't think if we have so many damn accidents right now with drivers who have been driving for a long time, what is going to happen when we release these things on the wheel? I mean, I really don't know. It's crazy, but it makes you really think about autonomous tech and the push and why is there such a big push? They talk about fuel savings because they're, God, I forgot what the word is that they use. They use convoy in the press release, but everyone else was saying something, a different word, and I can't remember what it is. So basically, the two vehicles are driving close together, and because of that, it's got less of a wind drag, so it has fuel savings, and then you got the driver savings, and there was another article that said Wilson identified that they may have a savings, but they're still going to need drivers, they said. So because they're going to have a cost savings in, you know, by not having to keep a driver on duty the whole time, they're going to pay drivers more. It wasn't drafting, but that's kind of it, you know. Platooning, that's it. That's what they were calling it, is platooning. So where the trucks are just together and they're traveling together. I mean, I think it's a cool idea. I just don't think it's going to work. So they're apparently going to run 62 two-truck convoys on 11 ARC segments throughout the United States. So you guys are going to see them. You're going to see them on the road. It's going to be interesting. Their trailers look cool as hell, if you ask me. I think their trailers are cool. And again, I'd think it was awesome too, you know, if just sitting there. But it's stupid. Man, I got to keep muting all these people. These people are stupid. I'm going to find out who sent you guys here. And that's it. Hopefully I see him at Matt's. I already know who it is. But all right. Yeah, it's just I don't believe in that kind of freight tech and all that stuff. I don't think it's going to work. Justin Schribner on YouTube said too close in Oklahoma is within 300 yards. FSB Automotive Solutions said will be less accidents. I doubt that, buddy. Because think about it. If you got people that are deliberately out there brake checking trucks in hopes that they can collect an insurance payment, what are they going to do when they see a truck like this that they know the truck itself is worth way more than what a truck and driver costs. And then not only that, but it's backed by a massive freight tech that's had all this VC money pumped into it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to crank the wheel so that truck hits them sideways so they can get an even bigger paycheck. You know, it's sad. You know, it's we can't even drive one day without a truck accident. How are we expected to put computers on the road? I don't know. It's crazy. I would love to find out who I'm getting trolled on YouTube. I'm going to try to keep it so I don't have to cancel the YouTube one today, guys. But it's annoying. I don't know why they do it. I got a bunch of people that are just typing stupid crap on YouTube, which is dumb because I do this, you know, essentially for free. I make these videos for free. So, you know, I would love to be able to keep broadcasting to YouTube and not get ticked off and just stop doing it. But anyway, I don't know who Travis Scott is either. So Joseph Mason said someone else sent them. I don't know who that is. I don't really care. I don't get involved in all this YouTube battle stuff. It's stupid. But what do you guys think? So there, you have my outlook on this automated trucks and all that stuff. I don't, like Mindy Johnson on Facebook just said, I also don't think it's going to be safe. I don't think these trucks are going to, I don't think we're going to have a lasting effect in my lifetime with automated, you know, 80,000 pound trucks running down the highway. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But it is what it is, you know. It's crazy. So that kind of, you know, and I wanted to talk about freight tech in general, because when you look at automation, you look at some of the other news and some of the other topics that are coming out, you have automation, you have different book it now functionalities and all that stuff. It's crazy. Hold on one second. Yeah, the phone lines are active. I don't even know if I want to post this number out because I don't want trolls calling in. But if you remember the number, you can call. But yeah, Ryan, go ahead and ask a question. I answer him off the chat, so I can't send you a message with a phone number. But yeah, I don't want to post a phone number and have a bunch of boneheads calling in saying stupid crap on the phone. Actually, you know what? Whatever. The phone number, I'll post it, because they probably don't have any balls to call anyway. Freaking kids. Anyway, I don't need moderators, because people need to act like adults when they do it. That's it. They just need to act like adults. Anyway, people are dumb. Oh, coronavirus. So let's talk about coronavirus just for a second. So the phone number's up if you want to call in. I do not have anyone doing that, so I'm just going to hang on about people if you guys are being stupid and take the number down. Anyway, let's talk about coronavirus. So we have – I don't even want to. It's bad. Mike Timmy said coronavirus is hurting freight. Not really right now. Freight's actually up. It's hurting everything else. But there's freight volumes are up. Rates are you know, even higher than they were. Right now in the United States, according to this little nifty map that I put on my website here, which you can see under the coronavirus tab, you can see that in the United States, we have 1,050 confirmed cases and 29 deaths, 23 in Washington, 2 in California, 2 in Florida, 1 in Jersey, and 1 in South Dakota. It's crazy. And you know what? Tomorrow we're going to have 2,000. And the next day we're going to have more and more and more. You know, it's just going to keep happening, which is insane. It's going to keep happening, and it's sad. And I don't know. For me, I talked about Matt's. Matt's apparently is still going on. They still have the okay from the local authorities to hold it. So as of right now, it's still going on. You know, I finally booked a flight this morning. I booked the flight this morning, but I made us drive anyway because the flight was so damn cheap because nobody's flying. The flight was $105 round trip. So, but I like driving, but I said, maybe if I just want to fly instead, I don't even know if I'm going to go. So I have to wait and see what happens with everything. Cause I got kids and all that crap and my kids have asthma and I don't want anything happening. So it's, It's just crazy. New York, what was it? New Rochelle, New York, just instituted essentially martial law. The governor there sent in the National Guard to keep people in this 1 mile containment area and, you know, right outside of New York City. David said people are dying in the streets in China. Yeah, a lot of people have passed away in China. We have a lot here. Washington's getting hammered. Italy is getting hammered. They have 10,000 cases. I just saw a news article before. It said that the U.S., blah, blah, blah. I guess somebody said we have 1,000 cases in the United States and it's going to get worse. But I don't know who it is. The World Health Organization has, I guess today, just now, declared it a global pandemic, which is sad. It's crazy. North Carolina is in a state of emergency, as David said. There's a bunch. There's a lot of people. A lot of states. My state's in a state of emergency down here in Florida. A bunch of states are all in states of emergency, and I know the reason. It's to get federal funding for it. But here's something. Yeah, David, I didn't hear about people dying on the streets in China because of this, to be completely honest. Didn't see it, didn't hear about it. So I can't really talk about it. But that's sad if it is. Yeah, RD Trucking said, I got a shout out from a YouTuber that has a lot of troll fans. It's over, Johnny. Whatever. It's just sad. I don't know why people do it. I only got one shout out from one other guy, and he asked me to train him, and I haven't replied. But this is a really good way to get me to train you for free if you are watching, having your bonehead fans, you know, or whatever you call them, trolls, whatever. They're all racist according to their names, but whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to engage those dummies. I'll see you at Matt's. I'll go. If you guys say you're going to be there, I'll go, because then you can see how big and hard-headed I am in person instead of being tough guys on social media. I hate that crap. Anyway, Ryan McCormick said, also, I am almost to a point where I want to get out of the truck, but still want to have something to do with the industry. I think I missed the first part of your question. Let me see. Oh, okay. Here you are. I just started leasing a truck to a company, and I was wondering what your thoughts are. Leasing versus buying outright. I don't have any experience with it, with leasing at all. No experience whatsoever. So I'm not even comfortable giving my advice on it. The only thing I can say 100% is I very rarely heard anything good about lease opportunities with trucking companies. Very rarely. But me personally, I have no experience, nor have I ever really engaged anybody and talked about it. So I can't give you any advice on that. And the only thing I would say about buying outright is I'm not a big believer in buying brand new trucks. I know I've gotten flack from other people for saying that. I'd rather buy a used truck. That's what I've always done for myself. Never once. The first new car, I'm 35 years old, guys. I'm young. But my first new car is sitting in my driveway right now. I drove that thing away with 5 miles on it. That's the first new vehicle I've ever owned, including my Harley or anything. I'm just not a big fan of buying. Because then if something happens, I'm like, oh, crap, did I do something wrong? Or they sold me a lemon and I'm going to be pissed off. I'd rather buy a used car and fix it myself, or use trucks and same thing. I've just always, especially with trucks, I've always gotten more for my money by buying used trucks. Like I said, I bought a bunch of those old Convoy trucks a couple of years ago before XPO bought them. And those were the best trucks I've had in a long time. The L8500 single axle date cabs. Mountain Dew. All right. Flywell Trucking said the oil price downturn was blamed on some emoji thing. I don't know. Oil price. See, that's the biggest thing that I think is going to have a negative effect on rates. We're going to see next week. You know, I'm not one of these fancy economists and all that stuff or an analyst, but I've been in the industry for 15 years. So I'm worried about the diesel price being super low. I'm worried about what it's going to do to rates when rates are supposed to come up. I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, we have a surge in volume. We normally don't have a volume surge until June and blah. Well, that's, again, you don't really have the experience. You're basing your experience on last year, which is not a good basis. You know, in my experience, market rates and volumes all start increasing right about now, actually towards the end of this month. And then the rates are continuously rising up through May. And then you usually are at a good point from May on it. Well, they dip again in August and then they come back for, you know, that, but that's in my experience and the type of freight that I ran. And like I said, I thought all that was going to happen. And now we have the, you have the, what do you do? I lost my train of thought. Don't even know what I'm saying. But to answer, so Ryan, I can't answer that first part, but your second portion, you said you're almost to the point where you want to get out of the truck, but still have to do with the trucking industry. Depending on how long you have in the truck and you have the experience, what I would like to say is just focus heavy on your experience. Get, you know, pay attention to bills of lading. Pay attention to your shippers. When you talk to brokers, listen to them. You're going to have crappy brokers. We all know that. But talk to them. Listen to how they talk and listen to how they approach their everything they do, because that'll end up helping you in the long run, especially if you decide to get out of the truck and go be a dispatcher. If you're working for a company now that has opportunities in-house, try, see if they're willing to train you. That's the only problem. I really think every freight broker should have time behind the wheel and time experiencing what it's like to actually drive a truck, because I think it sets you apart. I think it makes people a better broker if you know what it's like to be behind the wheel. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. What is this? FSB Automotive Solutions said on YouTube said future of transportation keynote 2020 North Carolina DOT Transportation Summit. Yeah, look. Mindy Johnson said, you are on point, 16 years and I'm business, 24 years trucking. Yeah, it's, you know, I think the market is what it is, but I'm worried about fuel. When fuel prices are coming down and they're going to keep coming down, the shippers are going to get wise of it. And I know a lot of carriers out there are like, shippers, what are you talking about? It's shippers don't make the rates, all the brokers do, those greedy, dirty, bad brokers. But no, it doesn't actually work that way. Shippers do have a lot of control over rates, and most shippers, 85% of the shippers also have transportation people, usually ex-brokers, that are in there trying to, whose job it is to save them money. So they keep current on shipping trends, and they pay for all this other technology that's supposedly going to predict what rates are and all that stuff. They pay for that as well. So if they see that freight is trending down because fuel costs, i.e. operational costs, are lower, then they're going to try to adjust their rates lower as well, which is going to cause brokers to lower their rates, therefore, you know, trying to, while still maintaining the same profit line, therefore, and that comes out of your pocket as a carrier. So I'm kind of curious. I'm worried about it. It's crazy. Sear Simier on Facebook said, do I have any idea in becoming a broker? Those are the ones who make tons of money. They do. Brokers make plenty of money. I make plenty of money as a broker. But the thing about being a broker is I didn't make plenty of money when I first started doing it. You know, as I openly say in this show, I make way more as a broker than I do probably doing anything else, including owning trucks. And that's the whole reason I became a broker. Once I actually figured out what a broker was and I became a broker, I got rid of my trucks because I realized, holy crap, I can make a lot of money and not have any operational expenses or very minimal ones. I got a load board, software, phone. I don't have a huge insurance note. I don't have a huge truck payment. I don't have all these things. So it's crazy. Irving Roman on Facebook said, 6 years truck driving, still driving, became a freight broker, and it's really hard to obtain shippers. I'm having a really hard time. Also, do you train or help coaching? Well, here, you guys want to see something pretty rad? Check this out. So if you go over to freightbrokerlive.com, well, let me put it back here. And then you click over here. Boom, it's a brand new tab. You probably wouldn't even see it. Look at this. It's a brand new tab called Logistics Training. And then I've got a bunch of different courses that I'm coming up. So I have a freight brokerage startup, which will help you become a freight broker. It's the same course that I've been running. That's on there. It starts April 1st. That is the only non-self-paced course. So basically, because I do a live lesson once a week. So there's a bunch of stuff in there, but it only progresses every Wednesday because I do a live lesson every Wednesday. But then I'll have Start a Dispatch Company, which will be self-paced. You can do it at your own. It takes about 20 hours. You have Start a Trucking Company, which includes how to file for your numbers, how to get the UCR, does all that self-paced as well. That is going to be free. Dispatch Company is going to be like $100. Freight Brokerage one is $300. Making sense of data queue system. That one's going to go live on the first as well. Also is going to be free. Load board training, where I'm going to feature the DAT load board and talk about how to use it, how to find freight, how to qualify brokers, how to do all that good stuff. That's going to be free. There's going to be, so just keep checking, because as I have more and more time, I'm going to just keep adding as many free. I'm working with Ascend now, so I'm making a training series for the Ascend TMS, which you can sign up. You'll do the training for either $20 or free. I haven't decided yet. And then you'll also get a month free. With a freight brokerage startup, you get free months of Ascend. You get free load board for 15 days. You get, you know, all sorts of other stuff. Plus, you get access to several of the other programs I have. So you can go up and sign up for that. Just sign up now. The courses aren't going to open till April 1st, but it allows me to continue building everything and all that stuff. So if you want to see it, go to freightbrokerlive.com, click on logistics training, and then you just click on it and you could check out. The ones that say coming soon are not fully built yet, so they're not available. Yeah, but they open on the first. But yeah, so that's, if that answers your questions about the training, that's, yeah. So I do training. I've done training for a long time, but I wanted to do it. And I know a lot of people, when I announced it yesterday, a lot of people were like, well, why are you going to offer training for free? You're undervaluing yourself. Well, because it's not my goal isn't to make a crap ton of money doing training. To be honest, my goal is to make money off of advertising and stuff like that for the site and podcasts and all that stuff, and to just help you guys. So if I can, like, the self-paced programs, I don't do anything. I just built the course. Once it's there, you guys log in, you sign up, you do it all yourself. You're not going to get a fancy certificate, because there's no certificate programs. They don't matter. They're not worth a crap. So it doesn't matter at all. Hold on, I'm checking what the market is looking like, too. Oh, God, I didn't even look. This is the first time. That's a lie. I looked quite a bit. Look at this. The Dow is down 1,300 and, what is it, 80 points today. It's not good. It's not good at all. Whatever. So, Siri Samir, to answer your question, yeah, the idea of becoming a broker is in my training course, or you can just watch old videos. So to say it very basically and to very quick, what you can do to become a broker is like this. Go to the FMCSA website and it'll say, like, start a registration or something like that, file for authority or get authority. You file for your authority, it'll cost you $300 and it'll take you about 25 minutes. If you know what you're doing, kind of. If you have no idea what you're doing, you're going to do it wrong. You should probably just pay someone to do it, because you'll do it wrong otherwise. Then you got to file a Box 3 filing, which is your designated person in each state, process server, whatever. That costs $35, depending on who you use. You could pay $35 or you could pay $5 million, whatever. Depends on who you use. You got to get a UCR filing done. That's used to be $72. If you do it yourself at UCR.gov and save yourself a bunch of money from all the ripoff artists out there who do it, it'll cost you $64 as a freight broker. You should probably get a SCAC code as well. That costs, I think, $75. That's what you need to do cross-border stuff. And a lot of shippers actually ask for it as well. And yeah, that's it. And your surety bond. You know, your surety bond is going to cost you anywhere from $1,000 with immaculate credit and 20 years brokerage experience to $10,000 with horrible credit and you're brand new, sitting in your underwear in front of your house and not knowing what the hell you're doing. But you just heard being a broker would be a good idea, because we have those. We have plenty of those in the industry. So, and you can do it as long as you can pay for it. And then there's other steps as well. You might as well just take a course. David has asked a couple of times, would I come back to trucking? Yes, 100%. If the opportunity presented itself and I didn't have kids and all that stuff, I 100% would jump back in a truck. I thought about it already. Still thinking about buying a truck and just going out or leasing on, or I'm entertaining offers now to work with a company that's asset-based. Just because I think 2020 is going to be a good year. I know a lot of people get pissed at me for saying that, which is stupid. But I think it's going to be good. I'd rather be an optimist about being negative. But I think it's going to be a good year freight-wise, and I definitely don't want to leave any money on the table. So I have thought very recently, very hard, even went as far to mention to my wife and said, hey, I think I should do it. And she's like, see you later. Bye-bye. Go ahead. Be a trucker. Whatever. Bye. She didn't care. So, you know, but I don't know. It kind of all depends on the situation. So Benjamin Grinev, whatever, said, I hope it is still slowly going down. I don't know what you mean by that. And then you said, we need less carriers. I get that because you think we have an overabundance of capacity, but I think we have a lot of uneducated carriers, and that's the reason why that's one of the reasons why there's such a mega push for all this automation and all these advancements in tech, because we have a lot of bad people. We have a lot of bad people. You said the market. You hope it is slowly going down. Oh, the stock market? Yeah. Hope so. Well, it's not going down. It's not slowly going down either. We have a day where it goes up 900, down 1300, day up, down. Like the problem is I bought a crap ton of stock yesterday morning when it was supposed to be down, but it just went, didn't work for me. So I am down quite a bit right now, which sucks. Yeah. And if that's not what you're talking about, I have no idea. If you're talking about freight and capacity and all that stuff, I think it's going to be good. It's just my belief. I think you said you hope it's slowly going down in terms of whether the market's going to be good. I'm really confused. Ben, why don't you call in 914-803-4008? That would be helpful to understand, so we're not playing tag on social media. But yeah, here's a commercial while he decides if he's going to call in.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest. Yeah, better than anyone. I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital, better than the rest.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Checking emails, you know, because you got to do stuff. I still have a job, an actual one, so I had to check something because I thought I had an email that was important, but I didn't. All right, we have a caller.
Hello?
What's up, buddy? Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben.
What's up?
I don't hear you. Oh, shoot. I'm watching your video, and it's lagging.
No. Just listen to
the mic. So what I was talking about, I'm still kind of counting on the market to still be going down like it was in, last year in 2018.
Yeah.
That's what I was referring to. Because I feel like there's still an abundance of carriers, still uneducated carriers, still – you know, pulling cheap freight. That's what I was referring to in the comments on YouTube.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, no, there are an abundance of BS carriers out there, but I don't think rate's going to stay. If you hope it's going to stay at low levels.
Because I'm still doing good. We're still doing good.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't.
I
know.
Really care for the guys who are running around.
Well, those guys are going to go out no matter what. You know, if they've been able to survive or just got in when the industry was rough, they're going to be able to stick it out. You know what I mean? It's not. I don't think that it has a lot to do to be honest, it doesn't have a lot to do with the cheap carriers. They play a little bit in spot market rates, but again, 90% of the freight out there is contract freight, not spot market rates anyway. It's not spot freight either. So what little, you know, control they have over it is very minimal. You know, I think the bigger issues are, you know, what's going on in the world right now and what that's going to do to the freight world. You know, because if oil prices stay super low, then we're going to see
a massive change in the next couple of weeks. And I'm not talking about, you know, just like some of the
skeptics
say.
Are we talking about fuel prices?
Yeah.
Or what kind of change?
Yeah. Well, if fuel prices go down, so rates are eventually going to go down. Because if it becomes cheaper to operate a truck, it's going to catch up in a very bad way to freight. And the problem is if rates don't continue to rise before that happens, I think it's going to cause a lot of disdain to people, especially if, you know, I think fuel costs are going to keep coming down, but who knows what's going to happen. Hopefully they go up. We can't sustain at really low diesel price. I know there's pictures online of people taking pictures of paying $2 or one. I saw one that was $2.11 for diesel. To me, that's not really a great thing. Granted, the diesel's low, but then shippers get it in their head that they could pay less because the cost to operate is now 15 cents, 20 cents less per mile, essentially, per the truck. And they're going to try to get that money back. And then at me as a broker, it causes me to have to adjust my profit margin to assure that I'm able to stay afloat. Therefore, my profit is based off of the line haul. It kind of screws you guys over as carriers as well. So,
do you add in a fuel surcharge when you give quotes, or just on the spot quoting?
No, I don't add a fuel surcharge in, but what it does come into effect. I do use it on my line or like my per mile rate. You know, calculations, I guess, is what I try to figure out with any rating tool, because I know you. So like any rating tool that I've showed you, or how I use those rating tools, they already have fuel included in them. So I'm using those tools in order to calculate what rate I'm going to pay a carrier. If fuel has less of an impact on what the rate is, then obviously it's going to drop the rate quite a bit, and then I'm going to have to either add that fuel back on. But the thing is, shippers are educated for the most part. Like I always said, there's three different types of shippers. You have really bad. You have shippers that don't ship very often, don't really care about the freight. They just need to get their crap moved. They don't know how much it costs. They're not educated at all. The second type of shipper is someone that they've shipped some stuff. They have some kind of knowledge. They're the ones who are always going to try to kick back the freight or kick back the rate you said, or they're going to lowball you with a rate and say I want to move it for $1,000. They already know they're going to end up having to pay $1,500, but they're going to start low in order to try to sell it low, but they don't really have a keen understanding of what it actually takes to move the load. They're just kind of ballparking. Oh, I shipped this like 6 months ago and I paid $1,200. I'm looking for $1,200 or less. You know what I mean? Even though that's not, you can't base freight rates off, 6 months ago. And then the third type of shipper that you have are someone with full in, they have more at their disposal in terms of, information available, education, more internal logistics people, and they know exactly what they want to pay. They know exactly how they got to that number, and they're going to beat you up on that number until you agree to take it. Those are the three different types of shippers. I prefer to work with the first two. I try not to work. The last two are the guys that are sending out those big RFPs that are beating you up for tracking. They essentially act as a brokerage. They have like full-time logistics staff that's all they do is just try to save money that way. Those are the type of customers that are going to really have a keen understanding. They already see all the news. They already see the news that freight rates are coming down, or freight, that fuel costs are coming down, and they see that there's an increase in volume. So there's more freight and everyone sees that there's an increase in volume this week of freight, whether it's because of mass panic, whatever, who knows, but the freight volumes are up. So they're going to see that. So they're going to know that they have to pay a little bit more to attract the truck. But when the volumes decrease while capacity stays strong, then all hell is going to break loose, in my opinion. But thanks for calling in, Ben.
Yep. Sounds good.
But yeah, that's my opinion. But again, I'm not a market expert. I'm just someone that's worked in it for years. So I just pay attention to that kind of stuff. But, there's some guys that can look at charts all day and fully understand them. It's not my thing. I don't understand them. I could stare at it for about 20 minutes before I fall asleep or just like totally lose focus. And I still won't understand what the hell the chart means. The only thing I could pay attention to is what I've moved stuff in the past, what, you know, in my experience with different sales processes and that kind of stuff to get to where I get. You know, a lot of people use tech because this is what the theme of the show is. So I'm going to very quickly talk about predictive rating tools, and then I'm just going to probably end the show for the day because I have to go to the gym today. So predictive rating tools, you know that everyone knows that Truck Stop, again, is one of my advertisers, even though I was kind of hard on them last week with the price increase. They know how I feel. I talked to them in length about it. They know how I feel. Do I think any company has the right to increase their prices? Absolutely, 100%. I have no qualms with them. I just have a qualm with the way they did it. I don't think they should have done it that way. I think they should have been a little bit more universal in the way they priced it. But then again, I'm not in control over there, so I can only say something. It doesn't matter. But again, I think DAT is one of the better load boards that I use out there. And I use it every day. It's open on my actual brokerage computer over here. This is just the one for streaming. But I use, the DAT Power and Trucker's Edge, and I use those boards every single day. They're coming out with their own Book It Now functionality. I know my other sponsor, Trucker Tools, has their own Book It Now functionality, which I have a meeting tomorrow morning to learn more about. I'm fully okay with Book It Now functionality, me being a broker. I know a lot of brokers don't want that kind of tech. The reason why I like it is because I kind of work as a Book It Now broker. You know, I'm a volume guy, so I move stuff, you know, as quick as I can. I post a rate that I want to sell it for. A carrier will either accept that rate, or if I have a little bit of flex, I will counter their counter, and that's it. And that's the same way Book It Now platforms work. You're just either accepting their load or you're countering their rate. That's what it is. So now I just do it over the phone. So I would have no problem at all automating that process so I was able to book more freight. Absolutely. There would be no issue with that. Can they fully automate a freight broker? Absolutely not. There's too many sales aspects of what a freight broker does, you know, in terms of, you know, dealing with customers, even dealing with carrier shipment tracking, the different things that you can't teach a computer how to do, or maybe you can. I just don't care to dive into it. But, you know, all these companies are all in a big, massive race to have the first Book It Now functionality. And who knows? You know, I think Truck Stop came out with one. It wasn't for me. I tried it, didn't really care for it. DAT has one that's coming out. I'm pretty excited about that. Who knows what it's actually going to look like? They have their predictive rating tool that is coming out as well. That I'm kind of excited about. And here's the thing about predictive rating tools, because there's been a lot of discussion about it and a lot of weird discussion, because you have companies that literally develop a very similar system that are jumping on each other about it because, you know, you say you can't base predictive rates off historical rates when that's literally the foundation of any predictive tool that anyone uses, no matter what market or industry you're looking in. You have to use historical data to base, you know, as one of the factors to get to your rate, whatever. But in the truth of the matter is, I don't know where everybody gets their rates, and I don't know where everybody gets their information, but I can tell you a company that's been in business for a long time and has been, you know, has access to all those rates, such as DAT, I would be more apt to think that their predictive rating tool is going to be very accurate based on the fact that they have access to all that data. You know, and that's why I said a couple of months ago, before even before Truck Stop even put out their Book It Now functionality, I said literally a day or two before Truck Stop announced that they had it, I said one of these days, either DAT or Truck Stop is could have put out a Book It Now functionality and just open up a freight marketplace, because they already have a digital marketplace, a digital brokerage, essentially. They're going to open up a freight marketplace with Book It Now functionality and bid functionality in it, and they are going to corner the market because they already have all the users. Think about it. Carriers already go to those load boards to find freight. Brokers already use those load boards to post freight. Shippers use those load boards as well. Man, I need water. And I don't have any next to me. It's in the other room because it was delivered today. Anyway, it's crazy. But I think the predictive rating technology is amazing. You guys know that from the other videos. I stopped talking about the one that I used to talk about a lot because of whatever. But it's freaking rad. No matter which way you look at it, and the you know, I messed around with FreightWaves predictive rating tool when I was there. It's very accurate. It's very cool. I don't know what it's priced at. Don't care. I don't have anything really negative to say about that one piece of functionality because it's rad. You know what I mean? It works. It was accurate when based on how I run rates. Because you guys, I've talked about it before. So when I run freight rates, I take the DAT rate, I take the truck stop rate, I take my previous lane data, I average it out. That gives me the carrier rate. I put whatever profit I want to put onto it, I put it on, and then that's my sell rate to the customer. The predictive rating tool that I used that FreightWaves put out in their Sonar product or whatever, it did all the work for me. So like when I would, you know, and I did it for a month. I tracked it every single day for a month and ran a different set of rates every single day. And every single day it was within a couple of cents of the number that I would have sold to my customer. So to me, it was very accurate. And does it do anything other than cut 30 days or 30 seconds out of my day? Probably not. Because am I going to base it off week out or 15 day out or 30 day in advance or 6 months in advance rates? No, those rates I'm not going to pay that much attention to because so many things can happen. A month ago, there was no predictive system that said that, hey, there's going to be an oil crisis and if diesel price is going to shoot down and that we're going to have some big health crisis and people are going to be freaked out all over the country. There's nothing that predicted that, no matter how good of a software anyone says they have. But in terms of the predictive rating tool and that functionality, I think it's awesome. And I think there's a lot of integrations that you could have with it. Think about, you know, having on your website an accurate rating tool, especially if you use one of these tools and you play with it and you say, oh, shit, it's actually pretty accurate. And then especially if they're open API, which none of them are, which is stupid, but if they were, and you could use that rating functionality in your own system or make a web widget where a customer could go on and say, hey, I want to quote a full truckload. And you could sit there and be like, or they could do it themselves on your website and go, because they make that noise when they type on a computer. And they could sit in there and figure out what their rate's going to be and book it all through there. As of right now, that nobody's offering an open API to it, that I know. There's only two companies that do it. FreightWaves has a predictive rating tool. They were the first. They were the innovators. You know, as I say, I'm always going to give them credit for it. They came up with it. Nobody else is doing what they do. So as much as everything is with them, I can't. You got to give them credit where credit's due. They kind of created that whole thing. But that is coming out, and they're coming out hard, and they're coming out fast. And I'm really, 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 really curious to see what all this functionality looks like when it does come out, because I think it's going to be very interesting. Do I think it's going to replace freight brokers? No. Do you know who I do think it'll replace? Carrier sales reps. That's who it's going to replace. So you know how at big brokers they have like an account manager, and then they have like a sub account manager, and then they have two or three carrier sales reps under them. That's who all this freight tech and these book it now functionalities and these emerging marketplaces and all these things, that's who they're going to replace. It's not going to replace a driver. It's going to make it easier for drivers. Drivers will have a much easier time booking loads. You know, is it going to eliminate some of the negotiation that a driver feels that they have? Yeah. But, you know, I always get a kick when a driver's like, oh, I called on load this morning. They offered $1,000. And I said, no, I can't do it. I need $1,200. And then he called back 5 hours later and he said, hey, I could do it for $1,100. See, I just waited. I beat him down for it. My thing is, you just waited 5 hours. So think about the detention rate. Even if you're getting the Uber industry national average, which is BS anyway, of $40 per hour, you sitting there for 5 hours to get an extra $100 really just wasn't worth it at all, in my opinion. But then again, what do I know? I've just been doing this for a long time. But yeah, so I guess the key takeaway for this show thus far is my belief on autonomous trucks. I don't really think we have anything to fear. I got a feeling that we're going to hear, as bad as it is, there's going to be something bad that happens. There's going to be a massive accident where a family's killed or something horrible happens with one of these autonomous trucks or something. Because there is, as of right now, there's no stopping it. You know what I mean? There's no, you know, the government's not all stressed out about it because they're getting money. They don't care. you know, the only people that are actually stressing about it are drivers because they're worried that they're going to lose their jobs, which probably wouldn't happen anyway. I don't know. I'm not a fan of autonomous trucks. That's why I don't, you know, I tell my wife, tell my kids, tell you guys, tell everybody. I don't think we're going to have to worry about robotic semis driving down the road without drivers in them during my lifetime. I just don't think so. Could be wrong. Who knows? But in terms of booking out functionality and all the other freight tech, there's a company that just shut down. Look, breaking news. Check this out. Turned the wrong way. And this, it just tells you that freight tech isn't all that it's supposed to be. Simpler Postage, which is Easy Post. It's a company that had employees in San Leandro, San Francisco, Utah, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky. They were a tech company. I don't know what else they do. It literally just printed up the WARN notice right before the show. They're laying off 75 people. I don't even know if that's all they have, but it didn't come from a corporate person. I did run a check and Pacer. They haven't filed for bankruptcy yet. So I'm very curious to see what this is, but it just shows that nobody's invincible. When freight is bad, freight is bad. You know what I mean? And these guys, granted, they did like the smaller packages and they had some, you know, big partnerships. You know, I almost wrote an article today too. If any of you guys pay attention to grocery chains, what was it? Earth something. I forgot. But they have ended up closing and filing bankruptcy, and 3,000 employees are going to lose their jobs. They had 50-plus stores all throughout the country. So, and they're closed. And one of the reasons they cited is because a trucking company, and I think I knew who it was, but I can't say it yet because I got to verify, but I think they're also like a wholesaler of food product. But I think the trucking company said they could no longer make the deliveries there because they're owed like $10 million. So they didn't make their food deliveries anymore and it effectively shut them down. So, but that shows that was a private equity company that owned the majority of that. Earth. Oh, I don't remember what it was. But I saw it when it first came out and I saw the WARN notices because at that same time, Amazon was like, Earth Fair. There you go, Lisa. Yeah, Earth Fair. They closed down 50 plus stores, laid off 3,000 plus employees. That's not the only one. Fairway Market up in Jersey, New York area, they closed 14 stores. What was the other one? Lucky's Market. They have 34 stores that they're closing. All these little like grocery chains that are going under. It's pretty crazy. That's like another thing. I may write an article on it later because it's not trucking, but it's definitely trucking related. You've got trucks that are filling all these stores. So what happens to all these companies that had contracts to make these deliveries to Earth Fair and to Fairway and to Lucky's Market and all these other companies that are closing? You know, what happens to the private equity companies? You know, I don't know. I may be wrong about it, but I don't think anything happens to those guys. And the funny thing is this private equity company that owned the majority of Earth Fair also owned Jacobson Companies, I believe, the 3PL. So I wonder, they weren't listed as when I pulled up the bankruptcy report the bankruptcy complaint. For Earth Fair, I tried to pull it up. I don't know where it's saved on my computer, but that wasn't listed there. They weren't listed as being owed. So it was curious because maybe they didn't handle the logistics for their sister company. Who knows? But I think it's interesting. It's very, very, very interesting to see all these layoffs and WARN acts being filed and grocery chains closing. And I know the bigger ones because Aldi made offers on 7 of the Lucky's and Publix made offers on 7 of the Lucky locations. Those two were in like a bidding war. And I think some of the C-level executives for the Lucky's markets were thinking about buying some of those facilities themselves and running it. You know, that was my first job, was working at a grocery store that closed and now then became a Hannaford's and then the Hannaford's closed. But that was my first job ever, was I was a stock boy. And I used to love that job. I was 14 years old, and I used to wear like a white, like button-down shirt and a tie. And I used to think I was a big business guy in little old Vermont. I don't know. Layoffs are sad, but it's interesting. And I wanted to look into it more because their biggest debtor was a trucking company that also acts as a wholesaler of food product. And it's very interesting because I read one report that said one of the reasons why Earth Fair closed was because the trucking company said they would no longer deliver to them for whatever reason. I couldn't find that report anymore. But Kyle Graves said, where was that A&P? I didn't say A&P. But no, it wasn't A&P. It was called Buffum's. Buffum Supermarket. It was in Westminster, Vermont. But yeah, man, that was my first job. Was grocery clerk. I loved it. Well, besides working at my dad's factory, was that was my first real job. But yeah, man. So that's my show today. This was a good show, besides the trolls from YouTube, which sucks because now I got like 15 people blocked that probably would have benefited from listening to the conversation. Adam said maybe KL Breeden. No, I don't know what that is either. Is that another another one that closed? Because we only covered the logistics companies. There's a couple others as well that, that covered. You know, the reason why I talked about simpler postage is because it's relevant. It's shipping. It's just parcel packages, but it's shipping. And for whatever reason, they're laying off 75 people in five different states. Four states. California, Utah, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky. So it's interesting. And they didn't even really do a good, they just sent like an email. It wasn't even an official like letter or anything like you see a lot of places, but whatever. It's interesting. And it's something I'm probably going to write about because that was an emerging tech company that's been out for a long time and has plenty of people. There was another trucking company that had, what did they have? 170 drivers that I saw that closed. There's another trucking company that had 26 trucks that has gone under. I just don't report on them anymore. I don't want to be one of these companies that just reports on all the negative. Grocery chains closing, I think that has a bigger lasting effect because they're also massive. 3,000 employees, a little bit different than 26 trucks. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I write about it. But KL Breeden is a trucking company that distributes to Whole Foods in the Northeast. No, it wasn't. It was the actual distributor. You guys would know who they are if I said it, and I'm not going to. I'll say it's a four-letter word or four letters, and you guys all know who they are. They're always in the news because of strikes, and they're nationwide. The Teamsters strike there a lot. Anyway, I gave away enough, but I don't know if the driver's a Teamster. I think in certain states they are. But anyway, that was my show for today, guys. Make sure you check out FreightBrokerLive.com. That is where I have all these awesome. Nope, wrong page. I have all these awesome courses that are available for anyone who wants to take one. They open up April 1st. So if you register now, the only thing you're going to get right now is an email saying, hey, we got it. And then you'll get all your login information closer to the first, probably about a week before. And then they'll all go live right before then. Freight broker startup, start a dispatch company. And I think start a trucking company are the only ones that I'm charging for. The other ones are all going to be free. There's going to be a ton of them. But I think I'll have 9 that should be done by the end of this weekend. And then, so check those out. Make sure you like me on Facebook if you haven't already. If you're watching this on YouTube, do me a favor and just hit that like button. I know it matters to some, but there's, 19 of you guys watching on YouTube. Every single one of you just hit that like button for me. It'd be super helpful because some people give negative ones. Or they say they didn't like my video. And I'm like, how can you not like my video? Unbelievable. The website is freightbrokerlive.com. And so is YouTube. And so is Facebook and all that stuff. But, guys, have a great day. Here's this music again because it's awesome. See you later.